Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Rolling Stone magazine's apology for mistakes in its incendiary story on sexual assault at the University of Virginia has rape victim advocates worried and UVA fraternities asking to be reinstated. Fraternity activity was temporarily suspended after the story, which centered on the alleged gang rape at a frat house of a student named Jackie. In an editor's note on Friday, the magazine said they should not have honored Jackie's request that they not contact her alleged attackers, and that there now appear to be discrepancies in her account, including the alleged ringleader of the attack did not belong to the frat in question, which says it didn't have an event on the night in question. Other reporters, including at the Washington Post and Hannah Rosen at Slate, questioned the story early on, and Hannah Rosen joins us now. So, Hannah, what was your biggest question?
There were a couple of things. One, in any article, there's that sentence saying, I reached out to the people I'm accusing and they said X or Y. They denied it. They didn't deny it. Even I couldn't reach them for comment because they ducked me. And that did not exist in the story. And that's really curious. And the second thing I wondered about is there's a scene that describes the friends that Jackie, the woman in question, talked to that night. And it just wasn't entirely clear to me whether those friends had been contacted.
Well, and these are the friends who allegedly said in the Rolling Stone article, they were alleged to have said that if she were to tell anyone, it would ruin their chances of getting in a fraternity. It would make her sort of uncool.
Yeah, those quotes were just a little too perfect for me. It's like, it's hard to imagine people actually talking that way. You might remember that they said that. You might describe it that way in the aftermath, but I don't know. Maybe there are some college kids who would literally say, oh, you're bleeding and there's blood on your dress, but we're not going to do anything about it because it will ruin my social reputation. It just seemed a little perfect.
Well, but the friends did speak to the Washington Post and said that, in fact, it hadn't been as described in the Rolling Stone article. One, a friend named Andy, said that Jackie didn't have a bloody dress, that it wasn't near the Phi Psi house. That's the house that Jackie alleges she was raped in. But, Hannah, let me ask you about this. NPR spoke with Emily Renda. She handles sexual misconduct response and prevention at UVA. And she was asked, with these new apologies from Rolling Stone, does she still believe Jackie? And she says, yes, I do. There's good research that shows that after you've had trauma, details can change shape over time because of the nature of trauma.
That's totally possible. If that story had been written, we wouldn't be having this conversation. If there'd been a story written that said, oh, look, she told her friends that night that a different thing had happened, you know, and then maybe the reporter could have explained to us these ideas about memory, and the reporter could have also explained to us why she decided not to contact the assailants, because it made the Jackie very anxious, but she still thought the story was really important to tell. I mean, all this just had to be raised and surfaced. We don't know whether the story, we don't know anything about the story yet. It's still unfolding. I mean, it's all of the friends say we think something happened. So that's what we presume to be true at the moment.
You talked to the author, Sabrina Rudin Early, in the Double X Gabfest at Slate. Let's just listen to a little of what she said. She says she did try to contact the fraternity.
I reached out to them in multiple ways. They were kind of hard to get in touch with because their contact page was pretty outdated. But I wound up getting in touch with their local president, who sent me an email. And then I talked with their sort of their national guy, who's kind of like their national crisis manager. You know,
they're
both helpful in their own way, I guess.
That's Hannah Rosen speaking with Rolling Stone reporter Sabrina Rudin Erdley on Slate's Double X podcast. You're listening to Here and Now. So, Hannah Rosen, your thoughts on what Sabrina said?
Well, first of all, none of that was in the story. Second of all, I think with an accusation this huge, where you are essentially naming someone, I mean, she doesn't use his real name. She calls him Drew, but she says that he was a member of this fraternity, and she names the fraternity, thus putting everybody in that fraternity under extreme suspicion. And she says he was a lifeguard at the pool. So let's say, you know, anybody might know who this person is. So you are pointing to a specific person, and you're certainly pointing to a specific house, making a gigantic accusation that really could land them in jail for the rest of their lives. It's an accusation of an orchestrated gang rape. So I think you have to try a lot harder than, you know, their page. I couldn't really find them. They were hard to contact, you know. And she really hasn't spoken up fully about what she did try to do. So we don't really know yet.
Well, Hannah Rosen, what about the rest of the article? You had Liz Sicuro, who also made a claim of having been raped at the school years ago. Her rapist came forward and made amends with her when he, decades later, was joining an AA group. She wrote a book about that. That's a confirmed case. We also spoke to a former UVA dean, John Fobert, asked him if he thinks the school practices a cover-up of sexual assaults. He said, "I absolutely do." He said, "Of the schools I've been affiliated with, UVA is the most egregious when it comes to this activity and the cover-up of it." What about the rest of the article with those claims?
That's amazing to know. And she did a great job reporting it and the culture of the place and, you know, finding out how they handle other cases. I think that's fantastic. There's a view out there that it doesn't matter if the initial story is true or an urban myth. I've actually heard people say it doesn't matter if it's an urban myth. What's important is what's in the rest of the story. I don't think it works that way. Mm-hmm. In order to be trustworthy on your whole picture, you have to be trustworthy on the most explosive claim that you're making. Now, it would be really a shame, right, if she was absolutely right about absolutely everything else. And she just got the details slightly wrong on that first story. And maybe if we clear this all up, we will get to a point where we can take in the message that she is delivering to us in the rest of the story, which is extremely important.
Well, and given that, how much do you think this sets back addressing the problem?
A little bit. It depends what ultimately happens. I mean, I think that we're at a moment where a lot of progress is being made. Campus sexual assault is getting a huge amount of attention in lots of major media outlets. The fraternities are starting to open up. I think people are really on notice. And so obviously the last thing you want at a moment like this is for a case like this to break open in which people can point to the girl and say, oh, we exaggerate it. We believe stories that aren't obviously credible. I mean, you really, really don't want it, especially in a case that's this high profile right now.
Well, where do you come down on what should happen legally? UVA President Teresa Sullivan, after the Rolling Stone article first came out, asked the Charlottesville police to investigate allegations made in the story. That investigation is ongoing. But others have said these allegations should never be contained in the school. It should always go directly to the police.
Right now, we're at a moment where it's very confusing because the victims actually seem to want to stay in the school system. I mean, part of what's interesting about this UVA story is that the victim and even Jackie herself felt pretty comfortable within the university system. But us looking at it from the outside think, really? Like an administrator hears a story of orchestrated gang rape and doesn't immediately call the police, you know? So if you put it outside the system, in other words, just in the hands of the police, the irony is it would probably be rougher on victims. They would feel less comfortable coming out and less protected by a university that they love and where they know everybody. But, you know, it might be that after this whole case goes down, we might prefer that. Or short of that, we might prefer really looking closely at the university adjudication system and making it tighter.
Hannah Rosen, writer, editor at Slate, reacting to the turn of events in the Rolling Stone report on accusations of sexual violence at UVA and the magazine's apology over the weekend for making some big journalistic mistakes. Hannah, thank you.
Thank you.